Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Has the new season inspired you to do a bit of kitchen spring cleaning? Well, if it hasn't, we hope that our next conversation will do just that. Agnes Boucher-Hayes, food economist from Limerick Institute of Technology, joins me now from our Limerick studio with tips on how to keep the kitchen sparkling clean and also how to save and use those packets that you thought you'd just have to throw out. Good morning, Agnes.
Morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. I love a bit of a clean out. This is
it's
great.
It's cathartic, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
You want to tackle the kitchen sink first. Let's go for it.
Well, yeah. Well, I think when you start cleaning to begin with, you know, you start with one job, but then that actually just kind of gains momentum and you end up going through the whole kitchen. But remember, your sink, if you haven't got a clean sink, and also one of the things to remember is when you're cleaning your kitchen, make sure you're using clean cloths. You know, it's a simple thing, but we tend to forget. We just tend to throw the cloth over on the corner of the sink and allow it to sit there. But while we're doing that, we actually can allow little microorganisms to grow. So at the end of each day, we really should, ideally, in an ideal world, put those into the dishwasher and just wash your cloths, the wet, damp cloths.
Oh, you put them in the dishwasher?
Sorry, not the dishwasher, sorry.
Into the washing machine.
Sorry,
yeah.
I'm letting myself down.
At the end of every day, throw the dishcloth in.
Just put them into,
I
wouldn't put a cycle on for that, but I'd gather them and put them in. And, you know, we use a lot of microfiber cloths now and we use a lot of, but equally, if you have an old tea towel that's spent, you can tear that up and you can use it as rags.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it doesn't have to, we don't have to be spending money the whole time, but the microfiber do help. But
when you like a good microfiber cloth,
yeah,
now, I have to say.
They give a nice finish, don't they?
they
give
do.
That sparkle, Claire. But in the sink, when you're dealing with the sink, remember, you're cleaning everything through your sink. So whether you're just washing or water's running through it, but tea bags tend to get thrown in there. Excess food, if you're just rinsing plates off, tends to get discarded. But it is one of the more unloved parts of the kitchen. So when you are cleaning the sink, just wipe it down. Like, just wipe it down at the end, so that there isn't lime scale building up on it. But equally, you can use just a soft cream cleanser or a pH neutral soap. Now, a lot of people, when they're cleaning, they've now tended to move away from shop bought products. I myself have one or two. That's what I like. I'm not big into the bicarbonate soda and vinegar,
mm-hmm.
Because I do think that there are products specifically for the kitchens and different bits, you know, for different jobs. They tackle different things. But, there is merit in those. But you don't have to use bleach the whole time.
Yeah. And is it true you use a toothbrush to clean the sink?
Well, now, this might sound a little bit nuts, but a toothbrush is a great thing to get into those areas where you can't actually, where you can't reach. So if you think about around the edge of the sink, where you might have, where it meets the worktop. Well, where it meets the worktop. Have you ever thought about the dirt that might collect in around that? So a little toothbrush, just give it a little wipe, or a nail brush if you happen to have it. But equally where the overflow is as well. If you look in the back of that, that can be filthy dirty. So a toothbrush. I'd have a toothbrush for the kitchen and I'd have a separate one for the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because you tend
not
to mix.
Let's not use for both functions. Well,
yeah.
Can we move to the presses now?
Mm.
Because in our food cupboards, in the sort of dry store, we have all the tins, maybe the flour, baking stuff. We tend to leave things there for a long time.
We do.
What are the dangers there in that practice?
So really, just talking about looking at that, things can go off. Things can become, well, first of all, we might not know what we've put where. And if we have jars that are unlabeled, that can be a problem. So is that the baking powder or is it the bread soda? Which is that? Or, you know, also dried fruit can actually become crystallized. Oils can become oxidized. If they're there too long, they can actually become rancid, or oxygen could have gotten into them if we've left them there too long in the back of the press.
So quick sniff, you'd know that you'd know.
You can know from a sniff or a tiny little taste. It won't kill you.
Oh no.
But a tiny taste.
I'm not doing that. No. I'm not tasting rancid oil for you, Agnes. I'm not going there.
Claire. Claire. But if you have a good olive oil, so bring things out to the front. If you have a small little bit of olive oil in the end of it, bring that jar out to the front so you don't forget about it. So it's handy to go through that. Also, when you're cleaning, this sounds very practical, sounds simple, but start at the top shelf. Don't start at the bottom shelf. Take everything out of the press and start at the top because dirt falls down. So start at the top and wipe out from the top shelf. I would just use sudsy water and One of the things that has always stuck with me, when you are dealing with your microfiber cloths, if you know, you can buy them in packs, but there's pink for the sink and blue for the loo. Okay. And that's how they never actually become, you know, they don't get crossed over then. So just have a very clear idea as to what's going to clean your bathroom and what's going to clean your kitchen. But also, so wipe out with, I would just use sudsy water. That's as much as I would use. And then wipe it out with a damp, clean cloth. So there's no suds on that one, so that it's a nice, fresh, it's a nice, fresh press going back in. But you can get smells coming from curries and things like that.
Yes, that curry can be powders. A problem. And you're putting your curry powders then into glass jars. Is that what you do?
That's what I would do. And this is just because, you can buy beautiful, pungent curry powders. And while it's wonderful in a curry, it's not great when you open that and you get the pong out of the press. Do you know when the smell hits you? Mm-hmm. So I put them into glass jars. Now, Claire, this is just me. I would use candles. So if I have bought a candle that has a glass jar, I know the one that I have my curry powders in was a Yankee candle. But also I would use other glass jars, like I've mentioned that Dunn stores have lovely candles, and this is not an ad for Dunn's, but they have lovely candles for €4 and larger candles for €7, but they have a lovely lid and they look really well on a work surface.
Yeah, that's all grand, right? Mm-hmm. But how do you get the smell of the candle out of the jar before you put the curry powder in there?
Well, you have to clean it, obviously. You don't put it in with the with the wax. So you clean it out, you take the wax out, and how you do that is, well, what I would do, very simply, put it into a saucepan. If there was a good bit left at the end, all you want to do is make it into a liquid. So put it into a saucepan with a little bit of water, allow the wax to melt, pour it out, and then wash it out with very hot water and just your fairy liquid, and leave it open for a little while. And you'll actually, the smell goes from the glass. Glass doesn't hold on to smells, so it will remove. And with these candles, the Yankee candles and things like that, they don't, because the top is glass also, they don't tend to hold on to the scents. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to use. And because they have a small little bit of plastic around them, around the lid, it means that they're airtight as well.
Okay.
They're not vacuumed, but they're airtight, which means that you can actually, first of all, see what's in your press, but also you'll know that the air isn't actually degrading the product that's inside.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you about flour, because I had a huge big bag of flour there last summer during lockdown when we all went mad buying in bulk, and I put it into a big, huge Tupperware box, mm-hmm. and I didn't know when it was out of date. So I just kept using it because it looked fine.
Yeah.
Was that the right thing to do?
More often than not, that's perfectly acceptable. I thought, because the flours come in paper bags, and they can be messy inside in a press, mm-hmm. and they cause dirt. So most people would do exactly what you do, change it into the Tupperware. But a little, what I would suggest is when you move something and when you decant something, that you take just the label, just look at the packaging on the outside, just take the bit off that says what it is. So flour, cream flour, or self-raising, or strong flour that you might be using with your bread maker. So, just rip that, put it in, and they'll be fine. They should be fine. Now, if you wanted to, you could also take off the best before the use-by date that will be present on it as well. But if you're using flour regularly, that's not necessary. When flour has gone too far, you'll know, because there'll be little kind of flour weasels in it. So you'll see that. So then give it the door. That's little, straight out.
Little things.
You don't want to eat those. They don't add anything to your bread. So give it the door. But really, you don't have to be complicated in how you start labelling things. I would just cut the label for bread soda or for the flour and just put that into the jar, and you'll find it.
Okay. And what about those use-by dates and the best before dates?
Yeah. So the European Union, European Food Safety Authority there's legislation that goes throughout Europe. So what we have is shelf life. So everything now has to have a shelf life. So that means that we're trying to prevent anybody from getting sick. So there's two things. What we have to have, well, there's one thing. We have to have a minimum date of durability on food. That's across the board within Europe. And within that, it breaks down into two separate areas. We have a best before date and a use by date. These are both indications as to the minimum date of durability. So what happens then is, best before is for things like, the way I would always think about it is a cream cake. So the cake, the sponge itself, will be fine after 3 days. However, if the fresh cream has leaked into it, it mightn't look the most appealing. But it is, what we do have is that there's no imminent danger to human health by consuming it. So it just might still not be the best.
It's still edible. Yeah. Best before, you could use that product after yeah. that date, but it just mightn't be as nice.
Yeah. So some, like, for it would be most foodstuffs, if there's a specific property that you want in it. So if you wanted a light sponge with a nice creamy base that was very smooth rather than a little bit buttery, then that would be, that's what that would relate mm-hmm. to. But the use by date, there really isn't any wiggle room in use by date.
Okay, that's, so you get to that, you get past that date and, yeah. and it's gone.
That means there's an imminent danger to human health. Now that's quite, that sounds very serious.
Yeah.
However, we can pull it back slightly. So say, for example, we have a packet of sausages and they're going out of date today, Claire. What I would do is you could cook them, put them into a cassoulet, you know, finish them up, put them into a cassoulet or just a tin of peas, butter beans and a tin of tomatoes, cook them and then you okay. can freeze it.
Agnes, so, I'm going to have to stop you there because we're out of time, but we have a lot more to talk about in our kitchen cleaning and organisation. So we might come back to this topic okay. the next time we talk to you. Lovely to, okay. to chat to you again. Agnes okay. Boucher-Hayes there in Limerick. And that's it for today. That's all we have time for. Thank you very much for listening. Today's programme was produced by Rachel Graham, research by Amy Ryan, broadcast coordinator was Geraldine Collins. On sound was Mark McGrath. And we'll be back here tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Until then, have a great day. And I'll hand you over now to Michael Cahill.